So pull out your notes for today's message, and what you've already heard is the central storyline of today's message. We're going to be talking about baptism, and the central question when we baptize is this: can people change? Can someone go down and come back up? After death, can there be resurrection life? Does life have to be like it was and is, or can the old go away and the new come? Is death and rebirth possible? Baptism says that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, yes, people can change. And baptism celebrates forgiveness, rebirth, change in a tangible, physical picture. Symbols and images help us appreciate these truths. And so if you read the scriptures, you'll see that throughout the Bible, God's love flows to us through water. Repeatedly, water is used through the scriptures, and it's really no wonder that it would become a central image in worship. I mean, just think about all of the uses of water. Think about how much of our planet is covered with water. Without it, we would shrivel and die. We drink it. We wash with it. We play in it. And God's love flows to us through it. The image of baptism with water is a central symbol in all of our worship and in our discipleship, in our following of Christ. And baptism is something that has been celebrated through the centuries around the world by Christians of all cultures and all races. It's foundational to our understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I am looking forward to the day where more and more people are coming into a relationship with Jesus, just like Jim, and we get to celebrate with them their changed life as they are baptized. Now, it is one of the highest privileges as a pastor to participate in a baptism, to conduct a baptism, because I get to hear those stories. I get to hear the details about how God got a hold of someone's life, what they were like before they met Christ, how they met Christ, and what their life has been like since then. And so we've been a part of baptisms around here. That was quite a moment when I got to baptize R.A. He was threatening to pull me under, to shove me under before I got to put him under. So that's part of the nonsense going on there. But this is a celebration of changed lives. In the time that I've been a pastor, I've baptized older children, teenagers, young adults, parents, older adults. I've baptized in horse troughs, in pools, in lakes, and in special church-made baptistries. It's a privilege when people say, I'm ready to take the plunge. I'm ready to be immersed in Jesus. I am ready to go all the way under. I'm ready to say to the world, I'm in. And when you get baptized, you find yourself in the flow of redemptive history, in the flow of what God is doing to rescue this planet. So let's define baptism. Baptism is an immersion in water that symbolizes a believer's new life in Christ. That's probably not a perfect definition, but it's one we'll use as a working definition today, and I do want to give you just a little bit of detail about why those words were chosen. And let me say at this point, my goal today is not to criticize any other church's approach to baptism. My goal today is to explain to you why we do it the way we do it. And so here at South Park Church, we do immerse people in water rather than sprinkle or another form. The reason why is because I believe that it best illustrates what baptism means, and I'll explain more about that in a little bit. Also, I recognize that you could be baptized once a week for the rest of your life and it would not get you into heaven. It's not the act itself that is saving. It is only illustrative of a spiritual reality. And so baptism is an outward public expression of an inward spiritual reality. So we only baptize people who have already professed faith in Christ, because it's not the act of baptism that saves, It's faith in Christ and what he did in his death and resurrection that saves. Baptism simply illustrates that and is a public declaration of that. But I do want to emphasize that baptism is special. I believe that God's grace does flow to us through baptism. So why would we deny ourselves that grace? Why would we dismiss it? So we're asking the question today, why should I be baptized? And I'm going to go rapid fire through 10 reasons why you should be baptized. If you've already been baptized, then my hope is that this helps you celebrate that and also helps you appreciate and celebrate the baptism of other people. If you've not been baptized, my very straightforward hope is that you would consider doing so today. And I want to acknowledge some of the things that you no doubt have thought when you've heard people talk about baptism. And one of the thoughts you may have had is, it's really not that important. After all, it's simply a symbol, right? It's not that important. But listen, Jesus commanded it. Why should you be baptized? Well, Jesus commanded it. If you want to try to keep up by flipping to these verses in your Bible, go for it, but we're going to hit them quickly, so they're up on the screen, and we'll look at them together. Listen to Matthew 28:19. These are Jesus' words after he rose from the dead, right before he ascended. He's speaking to his closest followers. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." This is no mere ritual of an institution. This is a command of Jesus Christ himself. The one who carries all authority in heaven and on earth says, make disciples. And the way you make disciples is you begin by baptizing them. This is Jesus' command. Now, if we want to follow Jesus, why would we neglect his command? If we want to experience God's presence in our church, why would we ignore the guidelines that he gives for us? Recognize that in many places of the world, it is a great risk that you take to be baptized because it is such a public declaration of your loyalty to Jesus, and it is such a clear break from whatever your past was. I read the story this week of Texas pastor Jim Dennison. And when Jim was in college, he spent a summer as a missionary in East Malaysia. And he remembers attending a small church while there in the eastern part of Asia on a rather large island nation. And he remembers a girl who in a service came forward professing faith in Jesus, asking to be baptized. Now, during the service, Pastor Dennison had noticed some old luggage leaning against the wall. And so after the service, he asked the pastor about that worn-out luggage. And the pastor said this, that girl's father said that if she was baptized as a Christian, she could never go home again. So she brought her luggage. That is someone who acknowledges Jesus as the unrivaled authority in her life. Jesus says, make disciples and identify them by baptizing them. And this is an example of someone who says, Jesus is my Lord, and whatever the cost may be, I am acknowledging that publicly, even to the point of that severing her relationship with her family. If you want to acknowledge Jesus as the unrivaled Lord of your life, I invite you to take this step of baptism. Now, some of you may be coming from a whole nother perspective, and you may be thinking to yourself, but I was baptized as an infant. At South Park Church, we don't baptize infants. We do dedicate children. We acknowledge as parents and as a community, we have a responsibility to raise children in the instruction of the Lord. Now, if you were baptized as an infant, that was a beautiful display of faith by your parents, but you were a passive participant in that event. And so today, I would invite you to consider expressing your faith by being baptized. And the reason being, just another one, the second reason, is that it brings you into intimate relationship with the Trinity, with Father, Son, and Spirit. It's an opportunity for you to express your faith. Even if you were baptized as a child, my intent is not to diminish that. That was a beautiful thing. But it didn't allow you to participate in an understanding way, nor was it an acknowledgement of the faith that you have exercised. And so when we get baptized, it brings us into intimate relationship with the Trinity. Again, the same verse. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When you get baptized, you are acknowledging the activity of every member of the Godhead in your salvation. Our God is triune, meaning three in one. Not three gods, one God, but three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And when I get baptized, I am saying God is my Father. And I'm saying Jesus is my Savior. And I'm saying the Holy Spirit is God's personal, powerful presence in my life. And I'm acknowledging my relationship intimately with this God, this triune God. And you are being baptized into this community of love that has existed for all eternity. Father, Son, and Spirit have lived in perfect harmony, shalom, community, beauty, and I am being baptized into that community, that Trinity community of love and of peace and of joy. Now, I want you to pay attention too that we are baptized in the name of. You get baptized, it's like taking on a new name, and the new name you're taking on is God's name. You're now a part of His family. Now, on July 22nd, 1995, Becky and I stood at an altar and shared vows, and she took on my name. And she also gave me a ring, and I gave her a ring. We entered into the most intimate of human relationships, marriage. And this ring that I wear and that she wears symbolizes our loyalty to one another. It symbolizes the fact that we are united in intimate relationship. And just as this ring points to the reality of my marriage to Becky, so baptism is the symbol pointing to the reality of me belonging to Jesus Christ. And so baptism says our relationship has progressed from a casual acquaintance of friendship to a deep and lifelong relationship. That's what one author said. When I get baptized, I'm saying no longer is my relationship with God casual. Now it is intimate, lifelong, and a commitment that I want other people to know about. Baptism illustrates this entry into an intimate relationship with the triune God. Now, some of you also might be thinking, but I don't know enough yet about what it means to be a Christ follower. I don't know enough yet about Scripture to be baptized. And so that's where I would present to you this third reason, that the early church prioritized baptism. It happened very early in the process of someone coming to faith. There was little or even no delay between someone surrendering their life to Christ and getting baptized. Peter says this in Acts 2:38. Peter replied at the end of this long sermon to this huge crowd on the day of Pentecost, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, Peter compresses into one event what we often separate into several events. He compresses into one event our repentance from our past life, our faith in Jesus for salvation, our baptism, which is our public expression in an outward way of the inward reality, and God's Spirit entering us. Now, it's okay for there to be a little separation of the baptism from that faith, first faith encounter, but it's clear from this passage that Peter, one of the leading apostles, said baptism is something that's meant for the very beginning of your life with Christ. So I can understand some delay so that there can be some instruction in the faith, but we should not delay indefinitely. We should not rush into baptism, but nor should we delay. If you read the book of Acts and the story of the early church, time and time again, soon after or immediately after coming to faith, people were baptized. That's the story of the Ethiopian official in Acts 8. As soon as he understood who Jesus was, he saw water, he says, "What's preventing me from being baptized?" As soon as Paul had the experience on the Damascus Road and then came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, he was baptized. As soon as the Philippian jailer and his whole household believed, that night they were baptized. Throughout the story of the book of Acts, it was something that happened right away. And I don't want to push anybody into baptism. That would be the wrong response from today. But I also ask you not to delay once you've made a commitment. Someone else may be thinking about baptism. Well, faith is primarily a private affair. And yet Scripture, I believe, says that it marks you publicly as a follower of Christ because faith is to be a public display, a public event. And so the Bible again and again talks about us being identified in a public fashion as we get baptized, and that being a good thing. Two verses after the one we just read, where Peter says, repent and believe and be baptized, we read this in Acts 2:41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. It was enough of a public display that they actually kept track of how many people got baptized, and there was just this huge rush of people to express faith in Jesus and be baptized. One of the most remarkable streaks in all of sports history is held by Giles Pellerin. Anybody ever hear of this man? He went to 797 consecutive USC football games. He had a streak that began in 1926 and did not end until his death in 1998, where he actually died at the Rose Bowl at the age of, I believe, 91. And between 1926 and 1998, he did not miss a single USC Trojans game, home or away. He traveled about 650,000 miles, spent about $85,000 to see every game. There was one time where he had an emergency appendectomy 5 days before a game. Saturday came, he was still in the hospital. He told his nurses, I'm going to go for a walk. He kept walking till he got to the stadium and he saw that game. Giles Pellerin was asked, why have you made such sacrifices to identify with your team? Listen to his answer. But that's just all part of being a fan. Now, you and I know that there are millions of people around the world who do ridiculous things to identify with their team and express their loyalty. People paint their heads, they shave the name of their team in their hair, they tattoo the mascot on their arm, they come back from their honeymoon early to attend a game. All to do what? To identify with a team, to do ridiculous, outlandish things, to publicly say, I am loyal to this team. Jesus himself defines what it would be to identify ourselves with him, to express our loyalty publicly to him. It may seem a bit strange to us to get dunked in water in front of a group of friends, and yet what would prevent us from doing that if Jesus himself defined it and invites us to respond by doing so? It publicly marks you as a follower of Jesus Christ when you get baptized. If it seems strange to us, I think we should be among the people who jump at it anyway, for it has been commanded and defined by Jesus himself. All right, here's another thing some of you may be thinking about. Eric, just to be honest with you, I'm afraid of water. It's a little scary to get dunked. And we all know if you go underwater and you don't come back up, that that is a major problem, all right? You have to understand that is a part of the illustration of baptism. Look at this next reason why you should be baptized. It unites us in a dramatic way with Jesus in his death. That's the whole point. Anyone who goes underwater and doesn't come back up, it's tragic. It's going to result in death, and that's exactly what we're to think about when we get baptized. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 6. Now understand, when the word baptism is used in this context, it's meaning spiritual baptism, not so much water baptism, and yet there's a connection. Romans 6:4 says, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." Focus on that first line. Did you know that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, when he died, you died? When you come into faith, when you enter a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you are united with Christ. You are baptized into him. When you come across the line of faith, the Holy Spirit places you in Christ, and God considers what happened to Christ to have happened to you. And so when Christ died, you also died. When Christ died, he paid your death penalty. You experienced a death to your old life. You experienced the judgment of God for your sin in Christ. And when we get baptized in water, we are dramatically illustrating that Jesus Christ died my death and I was buried with him. My old life, my BC life, my before Christ life was buried with Christ. And apart from Christ, that punishment would have been eternally damning. It would have resulted in eternal death if it were something I did. But because Christ did it for me, I can come through the waters of judgment unharmed. When I get baptized, I am dramatically displaying my unity with Christ in his death. Now, there's another thing that some of you are thinking when you're thinking about baptism. I'll be embarrassed by how I look when I come back up. No makeup, my hair is going to be flat on my head. I'm going to have this robe sticking to me that's all wet. The last thing I want to do is be embarrassed by how I look in front of all of the people that I get dressed up for every week when I come to worship. I'm not exactly sure how to respond to that. Other than, I think you're going to look beautiful. What better picture? Your old life has been buried and you're coming up a new person because it unites you, baptism unites you in a dramatic way with Jesus in his resurrection. You're celebrating new life. You have a new identity that's not based on your appearance. It's based on your connection to Jesus Christ. It's based on your being placed in the body of Christ. You're now in the family of God. You're now his son, his daughter. Continuing in Romans 6, verse 5, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. And verse 4, right before that, talked about being buried with him and raised to new life so that we can live in newness of life. This is a celebration of a brand new life for you. New life, new goals, new strategies, new outcomes, new abilities. And baptism is a picture of that for us all to celebrate. Now, some of you also are thinking, but I need to clean up my life first. There's too many things that are wrong, too many sins I'm yet committing. And newsflash, you're going to continue to wrestle with sin after baptism for the rest of your life. But the beauty of baptism is that it symbolizes cleansing. This is another reason you should be baptized, is because you're celebrating the cleansing that happened when you came into faith in Jesus Christ. When you entered a relationship with God, it was not because of your efforts to clean yourself up. It was because of what God accomplished in his grace through Jesus that you experienced through your faith. That's what we're celebrating. Look at Titus 3:5. It doesn't so much talk about baptism as it talks about conversion. It says, God saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. And though baptism with water does not literally wash away your sins, it does symbolize that. It does represent a cleansing in your life. Just as we use water to wash, baptism reminds us that we are washed clean. And we no longer need to live in hiding. We don't have to hide the filth of our sin. We don't have to live in shame. We can now live in joyful confidence because of the washing that has been accomplished by God, that's applied by his Spirit. In the early church, they had an interesting custom. When in the early church, the early centuries, someone got baptized, they actually turned in their old clothes before baptism. And after baptism, they received a brand new clean pair of clothes, celebrating the fact that baptism represents their cleansing. Now, some of you today may still be saying, but it's a strange custom. It's not something that seems like something I would ever do. It's odd, but listen, baptism identifies you with God's worldwide family. God's family, the church, is made up of people from around the world, and this is one of the customs that we share in common with them, and we show our identity as a worldwide church. Listen to Galatians chapter 3. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. And there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ. In Christ, all these distinctions that would separate us become insignificant. In Christ, we understand that we are a global church. Christianity is not suburban, upper middle class, American. Christian is people from all nations, all tribes, all tongues, all economic backgrounds, all races, all geographies who've placed their trust in Christ, and we are one with them. And baptism is an acknowledgement that what unites us far surpasses what might separate us. So just look at a few of these images. This looks like it's some place in Asia, people baptizing, unified with what we do. Here's a picture in India. It looks like a river in India. Here we have a picture from Tanzania, someone being baptized in a cow trough. This is a picture actually from a jail in the Philippines where someone is being baptized in a barrel. This is my favorite one. Siberia. Breaking the ice to get baptized. That is commitment, isn't it? You know, sometimes I wonder if we shouldn't use the heater in our baptistry. I mean, what good is it if there isn't a little sacrifice involved? It unites us with the worldwide church. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, it's too late. I trusted Christ 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and I've never been baptized because I didn't think it was important, and now it is too late. And I say, it's never too late. You can be baptized even now. Here's another reason. Your assurance of salvation can be strengthened. So even if you've waited a long time since trusting Christ, your experience of baptism might even strengthen your faith these years later. I don't know about you, but a lot of people wrestle with this question, am I really saved? Am I really a part of God's kingdom? Am I really a part of the church? Was that real, that prayer I prayed so long ago? Listen to what 1 Peter 3:21 says. There's a lot here, so I'm not going to try to explain the whole verse. I just want to pull out basically one idea. Peter writes, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't get hung up on that baptism now saves you. It's faith in Christ that saves you, demonstrated by baptism. And we could look at that more another time. But what I want you to focus on is baptism being an appeal to God for a good conscience. Baptism is not a cure-all. Just because you get baptized, that's not going to remove all doubt from your life. Only a conversation informed by Scripture and guided by prayer will sort out the issues of faith that you're wrestling with. But I do think following Jesus into the waters of baptism can be a faith-building experience. There's something about getting wet that makes it real. And this is something that can encourage your faith. And so when you get baptized, it's as though you're making this appeal to God. It's as though you're praying as you get baptized, please, God, as I enter this baptism, which will cleanse my body outwardly, I'm asking you to cleanse my heart inwardly, forgive my sins, and make me right before you. And it can be an act of recommitment on your behalf. And I believe as a means of grace, God will touch you. So why deny yourself the grace that God might want to send your direction? One more thought, one more reason to get baptized. Some of you have thought, I wish I could get my family and friends to church. This is your opportunity. When you tell somebody you're getting baptized, I've seen it time and time again. They somehow know that that's a significant thing. And they would show up for no other reason than to see you get baptized. And as a process, it commits you to our mission. By getting baptized, you're actually participating in the mission of the church, which Jesus said was to make disciples. And you're participating in that mission. Again, Matthew 28:19, therefore go. Jesus says, go to all nations. We are sent on mission by God, and we participate in that mission when we get baptized. We're also saying, I'm all in. I am a part of the mission of this local church when I get baptized. I'm going to be a contributor. I'm going to be a part of reaching out to the least and the last and the lost and the forgotten. I will be a part of that mission. I am committing to it. And as you get baptized, you're recognizing you have a role to play in that mission, and you're saying, I'm all in. Literally, I am all in. I'm getting dunked. I'm taking the plunge. I am all in. My eyes are going under. My ears are going under. My mouth is going under. My hands and my feet are going under. My wallet is going under. My heart is going under. I am all in with this mission that Jesus has sent us on to make disciples of all nations. Now on Sunday, September 12th, our kickoff Sunday, it's going to be a grand day. We're going to have one service that begins at 10 a.m. People will gather here in the sanctuary, and people will gather in the multi-purpose room, our gym. We'll have two services that happen simultaneously with live worship in both places. We're working on video teaching for both places, and it'll be a great day. We'll worship and celebrate and participate together for about an hour, and then worship will continue in the parking lot and on the lawn, where we will conduct baptism outside. And it's going to make it an even more public expression of our faith. There are going to be people walking by and driving by thinking, what on earth is going on here? And here's what I'm hoping will happen. There will be people telling their stories about how their life was changed, and there will be incontrovertible evidence to the question, can a life change? And the answer will be absolutely yes, a life can change. Here's evidence of it. Here's stories that prove it. And then people are going to get all wet, and they're going to come back out, and this place is going to let loose in cheers and celebrations, celebrating what God's done in these people's lives. And then I'm going to trust that everybody that comes out of the water is going to be embraced by somebody. And you're going to not give them that kind of side hug because they're all wet. You're going to embrace them, and you're going to walk away with evidence that you've been excited to be in church that day, because you're going to be wet too after you embrace them. You don't all have to try to hug everybody, but I'm hoping some of you reach out and do that. And then we're going to hang out after that for a picnic and for games for the kids and an introduction to the ministries of the church for this fall, and that's going to be kickoff Sunday. So I ask you the question, what's holding you back? Do you now have adequate reason to get baptized? Is God calling your name to make a public commitment? Listen to Acts 22:16. Paul says, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. You may still have questions, which is great. After second service today, in the first row's piano side, right after service, I'm going to be interacting with all of you who are considering being baptized. I'll answer any questions you have. I'll give you more detail about logistics, about how it's going to happen. And I'll help you consider whether or not this is the right step for you to take. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the way you invite us into intimate relationship with you using this beautiful picture of baptism. We thank you that that's a reality that's true for everyone who's placed faith in you, and now we pray that you would help us to experience your grace as a community in a way that will build the faith of all of us and will help us to be on mission for you. And so even now as we sing, we pray that you would help us to surrender our heart, our will, our mind, our emotion, everything we have, surrender it to you because you're deserving of it, in Jesus' name.